Welcome to The Living Word with Chuck Davis.
Marriage Supper of the Lamb, Revelation 19, 1-10. After this, I heard what seemed to be the loud voice of a great multitude in heaven crying out, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for his judgments are true and just. For he has judged the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality, and has avenged on her the blood of his servants." Once more they cried out, "Hallelujah! The smoke from her goes up forever and ever." And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who was seated on the throne, saying, "Amen, hallelujah." And from the throne came a voice saying, "Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, small and great." Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, "Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints." And the angel said to me, "Write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are the true words of God." Then I fell down at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, "You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." We've been wrestling through some very challenging imagery, and now the story begins to fully turn. We sense that we're coming to a conclusion. We're seeing victory being established. Who doesn't like a meaning-filled celebration? Graduation, a milestone, an anniversary, where the celebration is true. Not just a party to revel, but a celebration. This is one of my, it is my favorite celebration, right after the Lord's table that we get to celebrate as the church today. The marriage supper of the Lamb. Marriage imagery is one of covenant from the Old Testament. Jeremiah uses it. Hosea is a living example of it. He becomes a prophet who, in his own life, becomes a model of what it was like for God to experience the unfaithfulness of his own people. The scripture says, "I remember the devotion of your youth, your love as a bride." This is God speaking to his people. "How you followed me in the wilderness, in a land not sown. Israel was holy to the Lord." There's a picture of purity here. It's interesting that the bride of Christ, this image given to the church, is one that carries forward into our own understanding of our collective identity as the people of God. John the Baptist saw himself as being the best man to the groom, Jesus. Jesus took on this identity. He says, "Why would you fast when the bridegroom is with you? There will be a time for that." And the Apostle Paul repeatedly uses this image of preparing a church for purity, that it would be ready to meet its groom, the Lord Jesus Christ. He writes to the church in Corinth, "For I feel a divine jealousy for you, since I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ." Then he goes on and challenges them, "But I'm afraid that the serpent by his cunning deceived you. Your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion for Christ." Verse 7, we see that the marriage of the Lamb has come. It's finally here. The bride has made herself ready. We think of a picture of a bride coming down the aisle and all the brilliance, the fine linen and the brightness and the sense of purity that is there in the wearing of white. There's just this absolute delight in that moment. I've had the privilege of leading multiple marriage ceremonies and watching brides come down. I've had the privilege of watching walking with my daughter and then looking out on that ceremony I've had the privilege of watching my wife walk down the aisle. I've had the privilege of walking my daughter or seeing my daughter-in-law being walked down the aisle. All of these expressions just bring back a good freshness. And we see here that finally the church has cooperated, has not gone the way of Babylon, but has put on the fine linen, which are righteous deeds of the saints. How we're instructed over and over to put on Christ. When I see this marriage festival in heaven, I can't help but think of the communion table, which I've already referenced. Jesus said, "I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Matthew says it this way, "until the kingdom of God is with you." Now remember, Jesus said the kingdom of God is already here. It's at hand. There's this element of the now, but the not yet. Was Jesus thinking to this final marriage supper? When we will partake together, the cork will be popped and it will be an expectation of everything that we've longed for in life. This is a great promise from this revelation. There are two so what's in this. I would say the first one is a negative one. The first one comes in the idea that we've been engaged to the Lamb. Sin is worse than we thought. Sin is not just a error. It's not just a misfortune. It's not just a oops. Sin is adultery. There's an issue of infidelity here. And that's why when the Holy Spirit brings a sense of conviction, there's this need to repent and to turn from the things that have taken us away. The positive of this is that there's a righteousness that we bear that's beyond our own practiced deeds of righteousness. And the promise is that we will get to experience the feast. Why? Because our names have been written in the book. We've been given an invitation, and nothing can take that away from us. What a feast it's going to be when we sit with Jesus and we give him glory without any things of this earth blocking. My now what is to get prepared. I think of the parable that Jesus told of the 10 virgins who are being prepared for a groom. And Jesus interprets this parable and says, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." Now, this is not to create fear, but it's to create a sense of responsibility. You say, well, how do I prepare? I think it's found in the text here. There's four hallelujahs. Hallelujah means praise in the Hebrew, and Yah is shorthand for Yahweh. The truth of the matter is we will become like what we worship. If we worship the things of this world, we will be drawn into them and become like them. But if we worship the living God, if we worship Christ, if we declare throughout our life, day after day, moment after moment, hallelujah, praise to Yahweh, praise to Jesus who gets us, yeah, praise to the Holy Spirit who opens our eyes to understand the true identity of Jesus, we will begin to become like him and continue in this process of being made pure as a bride prepared for our groom. Lord, today release true praise through us that would shape us, that would make us ready for your return at any moment. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.